You're worthy to be praised. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And God, speak to us through your word tonight. Strengthen us where we're weak. Build us up where we're torn down. Give us a faith that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. We're in the book of Ephesians tonight. Ephesians. Thank you. All right. Now, the good news, we got all our permits to build. Amen. Amen. So let me thank you again for those of you that came out to support us. And we are ecstatic about what the Lord continues to do in our midst. Amen. Praise God. Now, last week, and I want to jump in as expeditiously as possible. Last week, we were dealing with progressions, especially in the field of education. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, those levels are there for a reason. Each level presents a different progression of information in your learning process. And I use this as an example. You know, when you leave arithmetic and get into mathematics, you have, you know, your algebras first, geometry, trigonometry, calculus. You cannot do calculus unless you've had trigonometry. Sine, cosine, tangent, cotangent. You cannot do trigonometry unless you had algebra. So there are natural progressions of learning, and there are natural progressions of learning in the Bible, spiritually, that one of the things I was saying today in the staff meeting, a good Christian education major knows how to put together a whole learning curve for the church, because it's just not done haphazardly. There's a lot of forethought that goes into that process. So one of the things that we've been dealing with, and I want to say this, is that these progressions serve a purpose, and Paul's format for teaching was always to give doctrine before duty. Doctrine before duty, doctrine before duty, doctrine before duty. Why Paul? Because in giving the doctrine, you're building up a intellectual, spiritual ability, amen, that will fuel the duty. So one of the things that when we look at the Pauline epistles, and it's interesting that Paul exemplified this in Romans 12. The first 11 chapters was doctrine on righteousness, including Israel, 9, 10, 11. He gets to chapter 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren. The key word is therefore. Therefore, it takes us back to the doctrine. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Now listen to this in the Greek, which is your reasonable worship. And then from chapters 12 to 15, he gives us duties. All right. Let the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. But that's predicated on doctrine. Paul did it in Romans. He did it in Philippians. He did it in 1 Thessalonians. Most of your Pauline epistles, his knack is to give the doctrine before the duty. It's a natural progression. And so in Ephesians 1, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, the first thing that Paul does is gives us the doctrine of the wisdom of God. And when we begin to look at the wisdom of God, Sophia in the Greek, this wisdom is God's mindset about different things. So when we look at this wisdom is a sovereign wisdom, highly developed, a hidden wisdom, bolema,
a helpful wisdom, Thelema, and it deals, it begins to deal with saturating the believer with thoughts so that when we make the transition of walking in Christ, we've already had the wisdom of Christ. Are y'all getting this? No, you ain't getting it. I'll go back to you. So what Paul does is that when you begin to look at this matter of this wisdom, we can go back to Proverbs 1:7 without turning there. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning place of wisdom. Are y'all getting that? When we reverence God, that's when wisdom starts. Now that's major. When we go through the Bible and go from Proverbs 1:7 to Psalm 1, blessed is the man, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Observation, three physical positions. Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, seateth not, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night, and he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose leaf will not fade. When a tree's roots are dry, the leaves start fading. Are y'all getting this? So the wisdom of God all through the Bible is that God wants us to gain the doctrine of his wisdom. And that wisdom moves into God's will. And I want to get to where I'm trying to get tonight. So we said in Ephesians chapter 1, that when we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is a wisdom according as he had chosen us. That's a wisdom, predestinated us, amen, to the praise of the glory. And so the Godhead is seen in the first 8 to 9 verses. Each person of the Godhead who did their part in the plan of redemption, that's wisdom God wants you to know. The wisdom moves to the will of God. Hang in there with me. Are you with me? Hang in there with me. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So sometimes the wisdom of God is something that God has purposed in himself. It's not always shared. It's not always known. It's not always sought after. It can't be prayed about. The secret will of God is what's going to happen. All right. So when we begin to look at the wisdom that leads to the will, and then of course you have verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the after the counsel of his what? Now let me stop, pause, and park. How does that help me in my spiritual walk? Because once I start understanding the revealed will of God, once I start understanding the wisdom of God and the revealed will of God, then I know that God has already purposed some things that he's not asking our opinions for. Are y'all getting this? It's his. The secret things belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong to us. Why is that so crucial? Well, because God doesn't have to share everything with you. Because we ought to be walking by faith. I said something Sunday in our last sermon on worship. I said, my struggle with God, I'll call myself Jacob. I would wrestle with God all night. My wrestling with God was, I didn't agree with God on this subject called love. And God had to woo me through the word and help me to see that what I thought love was, he doesn't think it is. So, Lord, if you love me, why do I have to go through all this? I don't think that's love. We think of love as somebody doing the best for you. We think of love as somebody that's going to be there when you need them, right? You ain't got to get quiet. You ain't talking about God. We're just trying to be practical in here. That when you make up your mind to serve the Lord, to work for the Lord, to be in worship for the Lord, that you, in the back of your mind, you think, well, God's going to be here. God's going to show up. God's going to bless me. God's going to do that. And sometimes, so as a babe or as somebody that's just matriculating, God and I may not agree on love. So you get married, and then the marriage goes through something. You say, wow, I trusted you with this. This is hell. And we said that too. So God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I can hear a pin drop. Until I get the wisdom and the will of God's word, I'm going to be struggling in my walk. Because Psalm 119 says, it was good that God afflicted me that I might learn his statutes. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in on. So here's what we, when we keep tapping into the wisdom of God, the word of God, and start understanding the will of God, and all things are by appointments, not accidents, everything we step through, God has already signed off on it for his glory. You, if you sit here and try to figure it out, you're going to go crazy. Why am I going through this? Why do I have to suffer through this? God is not beating on you. God is so far above our thinking that whatever God allows is for your good and his glory. You got to save that by faith. So we move from the wisdom, and then we move to this matter of the will of God. Now, God has a specific will for your life, but God has a generalized will for all believers. Are y'all with me? Amen. And I've struggled over the years. Listen, I'm honest. I'm going to be honest with you. I've struggled. Oh, Lord. You said. What's going on, Lord? As we grow, we begin to understand that even the things that bother us can be packaged up as love. And we know that all things are working together for the good. Are y'all getting this? The wisdom, the will, is a natural progression. So and that's why Paul said that I may intimately know him. Paul was saved 20 years. He said, no, I'm not close enough to my Jesus. I want to know him more intimately. But we don't read the rest of the verse. See, preachers and teachers are famous for pulling half verses out to make people shout. They don't tell you everything. That I may know him, how? In the power of his resurrection. In the fellowship, koinonia, of his sufferings. God, as I get intimate with you, Jesus, I want to know the power that was exemplified in you when you were led to the cross. I need that power in my life. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. All that you suffered through, I want to lock and load with you intimately I want to, like two oxen, I want to be drawn to you by way of an apparatus around our neck so we can walk together. You know why they yoke oxen together? So they can walk together. You know why you and your husband are yoked? So y'all can walk together. Because one of y'all be going like this, I ain't walking with him. In fact, break this thing off my neck. I ain't fool with this. And so, in the fellowship of sufferings being made, now here it is, being made what? Conformable to his death. All of that is in that I may know him. That I may intimately know him to a degree that my suffering won't bother me anymore. That my trials and tribulations will be placed into proper perspective. Getting this? Now, that's a mature believer. Again, Paul was saved over 20 years when he said that. So we move from the wisdom to the will to the work. Chapter 2, real quick. Now I'm moving. The work is, and you, it's a work of grace. Now, let me stop. There are some movements today that's trying to bring about the Old Testament. There's nothing in the Old Testament that God asks you to do. Everything is in Christ. Are y'all getting this? We don't sacrifice lambs anymore. We don't have ceremonial cleansings anymore. All males don't have to be in Jerusalem 3 times a year for Passover, Pentecost, and first fruits. We this stuff we don't have to do anymore. Okay? Jesus took everything out the way, nailing it to the cross. He is the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets. Any movement that wants to get you to go back to Deuteronomy is satanic. Or Numbers, or Exodus is satanic. God's not asking you to go back. God's asking you to go forward. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I am a dispensationalist. Dispensations is a TTT, a time in which truth is tested. It accompanies covenants. It is called in the Greek okonomos, stewardships. God is not dealing with us the way he dealt with the Jews in the Old Testament. He's not dealing with the church the way he did with proselytes in the book of Acts. You got to understand this theologically, and so what's happening here is that when we begin to look at the wisdom and the will, now the work starts, it's a work of grace. The church age is the age of grace. For by grace are you saved. Through faith, that faith is not yours, the gift of God, let's say amen. So when we get on the work side, amen, and this is interesting, you who were dead in trespass and sin, he has wakened up, made alive. Are you getting me? He has made alive, wherein, verse 2, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world. That word course is a strong word in the Greek. It's almost like a magnet. We walked with a magnet leading us. All right? Partying, getting high, doing our thing, drinking, acting the fool. We were all part of that course. Amen. And we were defiant in our thinking. We were prideful in our perspectives. And according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, we lived according to the rule of Satan, the spirit that now is working in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our life conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh
and of the mind, and were by nature. Key word. You was going to hell because you had one nature.
The nature of the flesh. When you get saved, you got two natures. You got the nature of the spirit. Romans 8. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with water. The word baptism, baptizo, means to identify with. It's us being placed. You don't feel it, you don't see it, you don't hear it. What do you mean by that? Well, when I receive Jesus as my Savior, believing he died for my sins, was buried, rose again, and I repent, Lord, I'm sorry, come to my life and save me. When I believe he's the Son of God, God invisible, 55 things happen we don't see, hear, or feel. One of them is baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. He places us into the body of Christ. And if any man, listen to the prepositions. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things ultimately were what? They ain't passing away the next minute. It's progressive sanctification. Are y'all with me? How long it take y'all to stop cussing? Can somebody stand up and tell me how long it took them to stop cussing when you got saved? Now, if you're still cussing, don't stand up. I'm talking about somebody that got victory in this. Can you stand up and tell me how long it was? Oh, y'all getting new up in here, huh? And I can tell when you're trying. Thank God you're trying. You say, shoot. Darn. You ain't never said darn in your life. In other words, you're getting close, but you can't say it, so you bring on another word. All right, anyway. So the fact of the matter is that this work of God is now God coming in, and God wants us to understand what he is doing in us. He's given us wisdom. He's given us his will through the word. Now in the work, he wants us to know about the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in us. And he's still doing it in us. Still doing it in us. Paul talks about this work of growth. It's a work of growth. Then it's a work of glory. All right? It says, we had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us when we were dead, zombies, in sins, hath quickened, made us alive, us together with Christ, for by grace are ye saved. He raised us up, and verse 7, he's going to brag about us, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then verse 10 is one of the strongest assertions of Christ in our lives, for we are his workmanship. Poema is where we get our word poem. When God wants to hear a poem, he looks at your life. Because he's worked in your life. Ah, Jesus unto good works. Now, don't miss that. What is God doing in the work? He takes a dead man and starts to manufacture good works. That's the work of God. So we have the wisdom, the will, the works. Are y'all with me? And then in chapter 3, the walls are torn down between Jew and Gentile. Mm-hmm. That, and I'm going to go through this real quick. Why is this important? Because if everything in the church age is church related, Israel is partially blind, Romans 9, they're on hold as a nation. If a Jew gets saved today, he's part of church. Ecclesia, called out ones. We are saints by calling. Are y'all getting this? God has broken down every partition, the law, grace, Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, this, he's broken all that down. Everything is now in Christ. This is why you can't go back to the Old Testament. It's ludicrous. And even some of these garments that they wear in Catholicism, and they wear, and the Jews wear, and some of the Muslims wear, these long liturgical gowns and hats, what they represent is Judy. They represent the old. They don't represent the new. There's no dress code for Christians other than modest, being modest. Are y'all getting this? Every wall was broken down by God in Christ. So baptism is God placing us in the body of Christ. Indwelling is God placing the Holy Spirit inside of us. So we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit brings the doctrine, John 3, of regeneration. Regeneration means he's making something new out of something old. Are y'all getting this? It's a whole process. Whole process. So it literally takes years to be conformed to the image of Christ. It takes years. You're not doing this overnight. You're not doing this in 1 week. You're not doing this because you finished discipleship. Now, here's where the challenge comes in. My next stop is a worthy walk. I got some wisdom of God. I got the will of God. I got the work of God through the word of God. Now here comes the difficulty. Why can't we walk everything we know to be true? Because God understands that your flesh is but dust. God understands that what you're trying to do now is, amen, and we typically do it in our own strength, is to make this body, make my mind, follow after righteousness when its master was the flesh. So your fractures, your historical hurts, your experiences and your exposures keep jumping in the way of a worthy walk. Even though you got some wisdom, you know the will, and God's working in you. See, the hard part of Christianity is practicing. Practicing God, practicing the presence of God. And so what can happen is I can look righteously on the outside, but inside of my mind, I could be filthy. Inside of my heart, inside of my will, I could be defiant. All right? So God comes along, and we have our first therefore. Let's look at chapter 4. This is the worthy walk. Are you with me? Did y'all see the progressions I tried to lay out? Oh, another thing, don't turn God into an app. No, I'm serious. I got some concerns. I tell the congregation to turn in the word. I don't hear no pages. Everybody on their phone, bleep. Don't turn God. Learn to take notes. No, if you got a Bible in your phone, that's fine, but learn to take notes. It is a rejuvenator of truth. Okay, and in the bulletin this week, we're going to have where you can take the notes again, formulate an ongoing library. You see what I'm saying? So if you ever need that particular subject matter, you can just pull it up. Okay? So here we go. Chapter 4. I, therefore... Why is it therefore? Because he's moving from doctrine to duty. You know where you get this kind of teaching? Bible college, third year. Y'all getting a free education. And you ain't even smiling. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, metaphorically, Paul is a prisoner because he is fully surrendered and submitted. In actuality, Paul's in jail. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you I'm begging you that you would walk worthy of the what? Of the vocation wherewith you were called. Mouthful. I was studying today, and I've Ephesians is one of my favorite books, but I was studying today, and I'm saying to myself, this stuff is so deep, because just under the will of God, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are holy, without blame, predestinated, adopted, redemptive. We have redemption, forgiven of sins, riches of his grace, purposed in himself, inheritance, spirit of wisdom, knowledge of him. All of that comes under the will of God. And the work of God, of course, is what I just went over. And the walls, the petitions being torn down, because the ecclesia church was a mysterion. Nobody in the Old Testament knew about the church. Amen. And what Paul says in 3:18, and you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height to know the love of Christ. Why do we keep needing to sit under the word to know the love of Christ? Because there's going to come some seasons when you don't feel loved. There's going to be times when you're starving for love and can't find it. You're looking in the wrong place. Don't look to me for love. I got my own issues. I might throw a little bit your way, but I ain't gonna sit there all day throwing it. You get a box of candy today, you know. You might get licorice next week, but I ain't doing this every day. There is no fulfillment in man. No fulfillment in women. No fulfillment in money. No fulfillment in sex. Some of y'all say, well, let me try it. There's no fulfillment in these things. Ecclesiastics. Solomon said it's vanity, vanity. It's empty. All is vanity. Now you're talking to a man that did it all. Had it all. So we keep searching for the wrong thing. I need your affirmation. I need your attention. I need you to hold me. I need you to hug me. I need you to touch me. And all that's good. Touching is a form of love. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Holy. Holy kiss meaning you don't come here like this. That ain't no holy kiss. So the fact of the matter is that God is conditioning us. Why is God conditioning us? Because when I finish this little book, the walk helps me, chapter 5, to be warm in relationships. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now I got a wisdom, a will, a work, walls that were broken down. Are y'all getting this? It's progressions. I can love my wife as Christ loved the church because of the wisdom, the will, the work that has been put in me. I'm not loving her because she's worthy of the love. You're not loving your husband because he's worthy. You're loving them because Christ asked you to love them. That's another problem we got. I've been loving them for 30 years. They ain't changed nothing. That ain't what God told you to do. Because God uses the words as. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband as you would submit to me, Christ. Are y'all getting this? Sarah called Abraham Lord. I'm still waiting for this to go ahead and call me Lord. We had a conversation the other night. It's funny. When we first got married, going on 31 years, she said, it's like the book of Ruth, where you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. I said, sounds good. So we talking about false doctrine. She said, I ain't going no other God. You change gods if you want. You know me. So, praise the name of Jesus. Whatever that means. Well, look at this. That's a note on submission for the men, too. God is not asking your wife to submit to you in things that are anti-biblical. Well, she won't submit. I wouldn't either. Look what you're asking her to do. All right, leave that one alone. All right, so worthy of your calling. Now, real quick, I just to pull up some Greek words. Calling is kaleo, K-A-L-E-O. Calling is kaleo, a general term for calling, usually calling into, and is kaleo is to call in, F kaleo is to call upon, meta, which means change, metaleo is to call for change, proskaleo is to call, Lord have mercy, according to, and there's about 10 different Greek words for kaleo, but it goes down to klesis, K-L-E-S-I-S in the Greek, which means high calling, your calling, holy calling, heavenly calling. So when God says in chapter 4, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Lord have mercy, walk according to the klesis, walk according to the high calling that God put on your life. Now you gotta practice what you preach, which is tough. See, because churches don't have these conversations, people are left to themselves. People are left to themselves. There are some things my personality is easy to do. I can love those that love me. Jesus said, you ain't did nothing. You know, I can respect those that respect me. But try turning the cheek and giving good to those who wish you evil. But that's the love of Christ. And you got to grow to that. Well, you call me a name. I'm not going to call you a name in return. I'm just going to pray about it. And by the way, your octave, your tone, makes the other person like a fool. Makes them like a fool. I'm tired of this. I'll be praying for you. So you're the crazy one. You sit up there screaming. You know what I mean? Most of the times, what we're angry about has nothing to do with the person you're talking to. Can I talk about cousins? Hurt and anger are cousins. We get angry because we're hurt. We're not hurt because we're angry. When you see anger, there's hurt. And hurting people hurt people. So when you see people constantly hurting people, they got hurt in them. And God wants to transform and help us. And listen, that stuff been in us for years. I'm gonna cuss them out, they say something else. Well, where is that coming from? My God. The walk becomes, look what he says. He tells us how to walk, verse 2, with all lowliness. Psalm 45 says three characteristics of Christ. It says Christ was truth, he was truth, humble, and righteous. So when it says walk with lowliness, Brother Arnold, what does that mean? Walk, the word walk means how you live. Live in a constant state of lowliness where you are not sitting on the throne. You're not the worshiper. You're not to be worshipped. Take the low road. like this. You know, maybe all these years, maybe I was wrong. Let me hear some of y'all say that and the ceiling will come off this place. For once, lowliness. The issues with this marriage is not all your fault. A lot of this is me. You will begin to invent doors that were never there before. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Lowliness. Approaching everything with a thought of lowliness. Why is that so hard? Anybody want to raise their hand and tell me why that's so hard? Did y'all see the Godfather? They hit us, we hit them. That vengeful payback is from the flesh. Yeah, it's pride. It's from the flesh. Lowliness. Why is lowliness so hard? Yes. Right. Okay. That's you, Reverend. You're right. You're absolutely right. Don't we feel as though we have to defend ourselves, Leroy? Don't we feel like we got to defend ourselves? Yes. Sure. It's pride, self-centered. Sure. So when we get to this walk, don't fly through the fourth chapter. And see, these are prerequisites for the fifth chapter of warmth. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in all things. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You can't do that until there's wisdom, will, work in you, and this warmth chapter which will warm you up. It deals with approaches. It deals with mentalities. You cannot keep bringing up the past to defend where you are in the present. Especially when you told me, I forgive you. You liar. You ain't forgive me. This thing coming right back. I remember 3 years ago. I thought you said you forgave me for that. Or if we don't say it verbally, we remember it. It's in our actions. I did a lot of counseling over the years. I got every counseling book in my library you could think of. Crab all of them. You know what's interesting? When people come to counseling, they sit there and people playing mind games. They're playing mind games. Well, let me see how I can blame everything on him. They're playing mind games. People are not really open to truth, especially the first couple sessions. And what tends to happen is we don't look at ourselves. Our perceptions is predicated on how you've made me feel. I don't feel loved. I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel respected. And you go around this big circle. The whole thing is that my dad used to tell me, he was with me 26 years as a deacon in this church. He said, listen, son, keep it positive at all times. That was his counsel to me as pastor. Just keep it positive. Because he knew my mother was in me. I love my mother. My mother lay your butt out, man. In a heartbeat. I don't mean no harm. Here it comes. Just keep it positive. Keep it positive. That's godly counsel. Keep everything positive. Don't get erratic in your behavior, in your thinking. So since anger and hurt are cousins, if I explode at you, there's something internally that's been agitated. Are y'all getting this? And until the Holy Spirit solves that problem, it's hard for you to speak. There's Great book. Five languages of love? Well, we're down to three now, right? You got to try to, and the answer is not getting a new person. I can get one amen. The answer is not getting a new person because the new person is bringing stuff. Everybody got baggage. It's like at the airport. I put my bag on the scale and the lady said, you're over 50 pounds. Can you take clothes out? Let's put it, no, I ain't doing it. How much is the extra weight? She said, it's $90 over here. I ain't fool with that. I ain't pulling my clothes out over the airport trying to put clothes here and put clothes. I ain't fooling with that. Something might fall out. I don't want people to see. Yeah, I ain't fooling with that. You know what the problem is? We have not weighed our own personal baggage. It's heavier than you think. It's really heavier than you think. I know you look in the mirror on the wall, whose affairs are the wall. The mirror keep lying to you. We got some stuff with us. All of us, I got it, you got it. And it only comes out, listen, here's when it comes out. It doesn't come out on Sunday morning.
Amen.
When you in church.
Amen.
Doesn't come out every minute. It comes out when your internal insecurity system is agitated, you're angry, it's something that you don't feel, it's in the feeling, and then boom, it can come out like that. It can come out like that. Why? Because we're hardwired with two natures. We're hardwired with two natures. So, lowliness, meekness, that's power under control. That's like harnessing a wild horse under control. He could buck, but he's not bucking. Moses was the meekest person in the Bible outside of Jesus. Moses was meek. Joshua was meek. Moses was meek. Meekness. So when you think of meekness, think of power under control, under restraint. Under restraint. I don't have a need to prove that I'm a man. I don't have a need to prove that I'm smarter than you. Are y'all getting this? So two couples, so a couple come in the study and say, Pastor, we think about getting married. Okay. And I'll go through my little, and I say, well, who's handling the finances? I am. And the brother's sitting there going like this. We ain't discussed that. And then I got to say, brother, you dropped out in the fifth grade. Be quiet. She graduated college. What are you trying to do here? You can't even do subtraction, and you want to handle the finances? Humility and lowliness said, whoever can do it best, let them do it. Are y'all getting this? So if your wife can do something better than you, it takes a real man to let her do it. Come on, I wear the pants around here. No, you wearing something else. So he says meekness. I'm gonna move up. Long suffering. What is long suffering? Turn the word around. You can suffer long. Now, can Pastor be honest with you? As Frank Sinatra sang, I left my heart in San Francisco. I left long suffering long time ago. I can only take so much pain and then the hurt coming out. I don't like pain. Hate it. So when God says, no, you need to learn how to be long-suffering, suffer long. If you can understand why we need this chapter before we get to relationships, it's obvious. How am I going to accept you and love you and respect you, work for you, be kind and tender-hearted to you when I don't have wisdom, will, work in me, or a worthy walk. How's that going to happen? It's not. It's not. And then we get so dumb. I went out of this relationship. I met somebody else. We went out to dinner. They so kind. You fool. You're sitting at the table and all they doing is lying. Have you been married before? Never. Don't ask him. Go to City Hall. Pull it up 10 times. And you have not been with that person under pressure. That's where physical abuse comes in at. Are y'all getting this? You have not had to work together to pay bills. Well, where are you? You're 5 hours late. I had to stop somewhere. My God, today. You gonna go to church with me? Nah, I don't feel like going to church. That should be the first sign right there. As I close, Paul says, forbearing one another in love, putting up with the other person fully. So you go out the door in the morning like this, you had this big argument, you go out the door, you say, well, praise Jesus, Lord help me, I married him. Forbearing. The next word is a participle in the Greek, endeavoring. Verse 3, it means painstakingly. Even if it causes you personal pain, keep the peace. Even if it hurts you, keep the peace. Even if you got to take the low route, keep the peace. Even if you were wrongly accused, keep the peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. One body, one Lord, one God, one Father of all. And so what Paul is doing in the fourth chapter, and I'm getting ready to close, he's showing us the vocation of a worthy walk. So by the time you get to chapter 5, verse 1, be ye there. Here's the therefore again, based on the fourth chapter. Be ye therefore followers, mimickers of God as their children, and walk in love. Here we go. Walk in love. Walk in love. How many of you, as we close, how many of you had a wrong definition, perception of love as you were growing up? How many of you? I know I did. Listen to me. My wrong perception of love caused me to chase that ghost to try to find it. Are y'all getting this? So what was love? Love was, here's a beautiful woman that has impacted my heart so much, you know, I can sit on the phone for 3 hours and not say nothing. And you know, we did that before we got married. We was on the phone. Are you still there? Now that you're married, is when you gonna hang up? I gotta go. Wrong number, boom. And then see, the Moldies messed me up. Motown, all that, because all them songs in the 60s and 50s and 60s, 70s, they was geared towards love. I found love on the two-way street, lost on the lonely highway. I only have eyes for you. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or dark. But you know, that's love. Boy, you hit them, you know. I stand accused. I ain't gonna sing that one. Woo! If loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Didn't them songs mess us up? Come on. And here's the best one. Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. It's much too strong to let it go now. Every day at the same cafe, 6:30, no one knows we'll be there. Let me stop. Stand on your feet. Take your 6:30 butt home. If there's somebody here who wants to give their life to Christ, just raise your hand. He died for your sins, was buried. You want to join the church, raise your hand. We love you. Let's look to the Lord. Father, thank you for this study. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you for this Bible study, Lord God, how we now can see the natural progressions that move from your wisdom to your will to your work to the walls being torn down, Lord God, to the walk, to the warmth, but finally to the warfare. We will never survive warfare if we don't build these other things into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. Continue to work on us that we may be like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you.
Your morning motivation. Mm-hmm.